Welcome to another episode of the Nui Tech People podcast. On today's episode, we have Vivek. He's a co-founder and managing director at local software development company, Jaegersoft. On this episode, we talk about his experience going from university to founding a software development consultancy, the benefits of work placement, and his emphasis on the importance of networking to grow a career in software development. Hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to another episode of the Nui Tech People podcast. On today's episode, we have Newcastle local Viv Jaychandran, Managing Director and co-founder of Jaegersoft. Welcome.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, thanks for having me.
We came to know each other a couple of months ago now. It's been interesting to hear of your story. Can you share a bit about yourself and a bit about your background?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Yeah, so I'm a Nui local, so I've been in Nui for the last 17 years now. Studied through Newcastle University as a software engineer, and yeah. We started the business up in the third year of the degree itself. So
yeah, mate, that was probably one of the things I found most interesting. It was a four person founding team, all university mates.
Exactly. So the whole team, you know, we're all you know, Nui locals, you know, started in Newcastle Uni, and we've known each other for, you know, since the second year of the degree, and you know, at the time I had a lot of opportunity, a lot of people hitting me up for, you know, freelance contract work, right? More so in like development and whatnot. And that's how the business started. So
yeah, cool.
Formed the group together and yeah.
So that's the backstory. The founding story of Jaegersoft is four guys got to know each other second year university. Correct. Seen some opportunity in the market for custom software builds.
Essentially, yeah.
And then that's how the founding teams come together.
Essentially, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, web applications, such, and yeah, yeah.
So that's the backstory of Jaegersoft. Four people got to know each other second year university and just seen some opportunities in the market in software, you know, custom software dev. And you've built a team together to build that?
Exactly. So I'm not sure if you know, because every engineering degree, so even software engineering, you have to do industry placement, right?
Yep.
So I was actually fortunate enough, and you could even say it's, you know, some sort of luck, that I did my placement for the Melt Accelerator.
Yeah. Right?
So honestly, one of the best experiences in general, right?
Yeah.
So got to work under, you know, Clint and Trent, and got to work firsthand with startups.
Yeah.
So I was the only software engineer, you know, part of the student cohort.
Yeah.
And as a result, that's how a lot of requests for, hey, any chance you can do, you know, a bit of dev work for us, and
yeah,
you know, do you want to do some contract work,
yeah,
you know, for, you know, interfaces or cross-platform mobile applications or whatever. And I was like, yeah, you know what, sure, let's do it. But it got to a point where I got too much, and I knew a great bunch of guys, you know, from uni, you know, I've known them since second year, and I was like, yep, let's do this, you know, there's a gap here, there's a bit of demand, as we can see, let's you know, we have a bit of interest in business, why not just give it a go? And yeah, that's how it started, essentially.
Nice, mate. You mentioned Trent Bagnall, I assume we're talking about.
Yes.
There's probably no one in Newcastle that knows a startup scene or startups, yeah, or what makes startups successful better than Trent. I think that guidance must have been invaluable.
Well, I mean, 100%, because, like, I'll be honest with you, because before that placement, we had no idea. You know, us being, you know, engineering students, you know, we all had the idea that, you know, once we get our degree, we had to possibly leave Nui and just go, you know, work in Sydney, Melbourne, or even overseas, right? And even like the startup culture itself, like, we just had no idea about that, right? So doing the placement, like, you know, the internship with the Melt, and, you know, kind of listening to and just essentially doing work, you know, with Clint and, you know, Trent Bagnall, and, you know, hearing those guys, you know, the strategies that they're building up and the stuff they're doing for startups and stuff. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. Right at our doorstep, we can do this, you know?
Yeah. Mate, that's nice. You mentioned a couple of points there I want to sort of dig into. The work placement, right, how this all eventuated. It's one of the questions we ask most people if they go through university, you know, the benefits of university, et cetera, and we'll dig into that. But that work placement,
yes,
the opportunity to work in a commercial environment while still studying at university, can you explain or dig into that a little bit deeper and just give people an insight into what that experience is like?
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, you have to do a 12-week placement, right, if you do an engineering degree at Newcastle Uni. Right?
Yeah.
Now, the funny story is everyone in the team of Jaegersoft, like all the engineers, we all started doing some other field of engineering. So we all did mechanical or mechatronic, right? Mechatronic engineering. Some of us actually did placement for that degree, but unfortunately it was not a pleasant experience. There were some guys who had to simply get coffees or broom the lockers or whatever it be, and it wasn't a pleasant experience, right?
Yeah.
So to the placement's important, simply because that's essentially your first foray into understanding what industry's like, right?
Yeah.
So if it's a great place that you work for, right? Say for example, in my case doing the melt, right?
Yeah.
We essentially got to work on product development right from the concept ideation stage and, doing feasibility studies and, requirements gathering and experimentation, so to speak, and really, really help out founders building a real product, right? So that's essentially, I fell in love with it and, it was an amazing experience, because you learn so much more working in industry, honestly, like than you would in uni.
I couldn't agree with you more. I did a Bachelor of Business, so completely different, significantly less technical.
Yeah,
but
I
think I learned more in my first 3 months, 6 months out of university than I did in my 3-year degree. Mm. Just because the exposure to actual commercial environment, decisions that get made, how those decisions affect business.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a very similar experience whilst doing a completely different degree.
Yeah.
I think for you in particular, the environment that you went into, it sounds like that provided you that fast track, like exposure to ideation sized right through to actually designing a product and building an MVP, as opposed to being thrown in a massive organization where you might just work on a couple of tickets. And as you said, even worse is the people that get thrown in an environment and become the person that goes and gets coffee.
Exactly. It really does influence you at that early stage of, doing your degree as to what you want to do, once you complete that degree. And that's exactly right. Like I essentially got thrown in the deep end and learned so much as a result, right? So, that's what we do essentially with Jagersoft as well, right? So we specialize in the design and engineering of software products for startups and SMEs.
Yeah.
Right? Working with founders, understanding what they want, and, it is fulfilling, just having an idea and then taking it all the way into product market fit, and then even seeing founders achieve success and go on to bigger and better things. It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. Mate, you just made mention of that. You obviously and your team has found a nice little niche in that building an MVP or taking a concept or an idea through to MVP stage. For those who, let's say, sitting at home with an idea, they don't have a technical team, they don't have the technical chops to bring something to life, can you explain what that process looks like when you go and work with a potential founder on taking their idea through to MVP stage?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a tough process. It's daunting, and, you could be a founder that, you have a technical background or you're not from a technical background, right? But, right now, especially post-COVID, where I've personally seen like a wave of entrepreneurship, people with amazing ideas that they want to chase and they're finally doing it, right? So especially here in Newcastle. So, it's a tough process because at the end of the day, it's just you and with the business, right? And there's so much you have to kind of account for say, building a product and getting it to product market fit, right?
Yeah.
So generally, with founders, if they do go with an accelerator, they have mentorship, in say BD sales and marketing. So that's in that sense, right?
Yeah.
But chances are you do need a software product built. That is probably the most likely the core product of your business, right?
Yeah.
And it's not as simple as just saying, all right, I'm going to outsource it to, a freelance developer, for example, or even outsourcing it overseas and just say, hey, here's, 40K, 50K, bill me exactly like this is what I want, right? Because at the end of the day, you might understand that you need a product, but where do you even start, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we do. So we essentially kind of go with them in the early stages and even go over the business model, understand, okay, what are you trying to achieve, right? And the most important thing is you want to build something lean, right? You don't want to invest too much money at the very start, right? Because at the end of the day, every investment counts.
Yeah.
Right? And we deconstruct that idea, work with them through ideation, right? Design prototype, and then we do the development itself, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's fantastic, mate. I think it's, you made a couple of points there as well. Like the startups without that technical co-founder.
Yeah.
I think significantly disadvantaged. It's not to say it can't work, but having somebody within the team who can make those changes, as you said, like the product, as it evolves, it iterates so many times, having it every time outsourced to an outsourced team or somebody offshore, or even if it's a dev shop that sits external, to do that time and time again through a startup, through all those multiple iterations, makes it significantly harder than having that internal dev capacity.
Exactly. You know, and chances are, like if you're an early stage startup, you know, your capacity is limited.
Yeah. Right?
And chances are you have to focus on, you know, other aspects in early stages, you know, like I said, sales and marketing, for example, right? Even if you're a technical founder, like there is a lot of overhead in, you know, managing product development itself, right? Yeah. So that's essentially what we do. You know, we jump in with our technical team. You know, we integrate with your business. You know, you're a startup founder. We work with you, and you have our technical resources there at your disposal, right? Just to work with you. You know, try and, you know, help you realize what your product should be, and any feedback that comes through from your early customer feedback, for example, we work through it and we build upon that and really polish up your product.
That's awesome, fantastic. Obviously, starting a small business comes with its challenges. It's not all sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah.
The next graduates coming through 2 years from now, 3 years from now, see the success that you've had and think about doing something similar. Can you talk through any of the challenges that you might have faced?
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of challenges. It is challenging. I mean, I've always been passionate about business. I started software simply because, you know, I've read stories of, you know, Evan Spiegel from Snapchat or even Melanie Perkins from Canva, and these guys have built amazing, software IP, like products, right? And that's, I fell in love with that, you know, and I wanted to do that. And, you know, the opportunity came along where we could be a service business, an engineering service business, working with, you know, potential founders, startup founders, right? Like they can be successful like that, right?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, yeah, this is awesome. So we did it, and it's in the technical side of things, it wasn't a challenge because, you know, myself, you know, I've got background, you know, front end engineering and full stack dev. It wasn't too complicated in terms of what clients wanted and stuff. Same with my team. The technical side of things is not really challenging. So if you're a uni student, if you're a graduate who, you know, you do well at uni and you spend your spare time doing, you know, portfolio work of, you know, mobile dev or web dev or whatever, I think you should be sweet, right?
Yeah.
But the business side of things, you know, how to market, how to find work, and, you know, customer success, customer journey, all that is, got to stay on top of that. So,
By staying on top of that, is there any places you would point people? Is it going through those experiences and learning from them, or has it been for you reading books, listening to podcasts? What's been the biggest help for you in that?
Yeah.
Those areas that aren't your sweet spot.
Yeah.
You know, the technical side, obviously, right, your jam and the rest of your team, but the business, the growth, you said the sales, the marketing. Is there any areas that you've lent on to upskill in that area?
I mean, I was pretty fortunate. I was lucky to have great mentors early on, right? I made a massive effort to really, really get in touch with the network, not just with the uni while I was at uni, but also, you know, the people I did my placement with and whatnot. My biggest advice would be to really, really, really network, especially here in Newcastle, because, you know, my new is a great, it's a small, you know, small, it's small in comparison to Sydney, for example.
Yeah.
But everyone, you know, supports each other. That's
I think it plays to your advantage. I think people should and can take advantage of that being in Newcastle as opposed to Sydney. It is smaller, but it's big enough that if you are looking for somebody with a particular experience, a particular skill set,
yeah,
it's highly likely there's somebody here with that or has been through something similar. And Newcastle people tend to be easier to get a hold of or find out who they are, what experience they've got. And then, so get a hold of for one, but then it's relatively easy to try to get somebody's time in Newcastle if you go about it the right way.
Yeah, honestly. And it's amazing because, you know, I've had amazing conversations with, you know, people who've had, you know, significantly more experience than us, you know, and they're all willing to share, you know, the trials and tribulations and what's helped them, what's not, you know, they all share their stories, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's important. It's really, really important to network, even if you're a student, in my opinion. Just go to the events and just talk to people because people want to share their stories and people want to learn more about you.
Yeah. Mate, couple of points there, and I love these points as well. You mentioned mentorship, you mentioned networking, you mentioned events. Is there any events or networking in particular that you found super beneficial here in Newcastle? Because I feel like Newcastle pre-COVID was great when it came to events.
Yeah.
Post-COVID, coming back, the events, face-to-face events, coming back. But again, I love that advice for people. Yeah. I feel like it's great advice is that networking events. Are there any in particular you found valuable?
No, absolutely. So yeah, it was rough because we started during COVID and, you know, there was no events running at all. But now since events are coming back, there's great niche specific to software, right? Or software and tech in general, events running in Newcastle. So you know, the data analytics one, for example, I frequent that a lot. It's amazing, you know, great, you know, talks and presentations that happen once a month, you know, on a Thursday. I think that's yeah. And that's one. There's an IoT one, you know, the guys at Safi host that now.
Yeah.
They used to do Blast Furnace as well. That was probably one of the first ones that I went to and, you know, yeah.
And that was quite niche as well because it had the hands-on element to it as well, which is awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you go on Meetup and whatnot, and, you know, you guys also do it, and if you go on the Slack channel as well, the new Slack channel, it's pumping like they're firing center. So, yeah.
Now, I feel like events and networking, especially for younger professionals or people at university trying to build a network, trying to look for mentorship, trying to grow their career or just learn in general, is some of the best advice I could provide anyone as they're coming up and looking to build a tech career.
100%.
Especially in technical fields, that it's highly likely you'll find somebody that's gone through a similar challenge that you have. And I talk to like senior tech professionals who go to meetups and really enjoy that back and forth with other people who are facing the similar challenges to them in their careers. They might have a problem and they bounce to somebody else. And, you know, just that conversation with another tech professional and understanding you may have faced similar challenges and figuring out problems that way is super beneficial.
Absolutely. It's about learning, you know, learn, you know, if you go to a meetup, for example, and you see, you know, people from industry that have significant experience, learn, you know, just talk to them and learn what they do and learn what they've done. And there's a strong chance they'll ask you about your challenges, whether you're a student or you're a young person in business like myself, or if you're a professional, like they'll, you know, have a chat to you about your pain points maybe and just riff off, and that's how you learn, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. Mate, one of the other parts, obviously, our podcast, Nui Tech People Podcast, we're Nui centric on this podcast. You mentioned you and your team had the ideas early days that you're going to finish university, have to travel outside of Newcastle, Sydney, Melbourne, potentially internationally, but you found a nice opportunity here in Newcastle.
Yeah.
Can you talk about your experience with Newcastle to date and where you see it going?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like the vibes completely change, and honestly, probably kudos to you guys as well. You know, because we see the things that you guys post, and you know, the podcast, for example. You know, it's really, really facilitated growth in the tech scene here.
Right.
Yeah. So when we first started uni, like I said, we had that perception that we had to leave Newey, and there was not much happening in the form of tech and software engineering or whatever it be in New itself.
Yeah.
But that's completely changed, right? Like we're slowly seeing, you know, post-COVID, for example, you know, a lot of these events and meetups coming back. There's a lot more jobs coming here as well, which is awesome. And in the form of startup events and whatnot as well, it's really picking up. So there's a great ecosystem, you know, building up, and it's you know, like I said, it's great what you guys are doing, and we want to be part of that as well. So we want to help facilitate that growth and build that tech scene in Newcastle.
Nice, mate. You obviously guys met during university.
Mm.
You've talked super positively about your work placement through the university.
Mm-hmm.
Whole university experience as a whole. Can you give some people some insights into whether you think it's been valuable, whether you would advise others to go through the same degree you've done? Mm. Any insights to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been great. Like I do love the University of Newcastle, and the degree's been awesome. So I actually started with computer science. I transitioned into software engineering simply because it's essentially they add on the engineering related courses, right?
Yeah.
And that's, in my opinion, very valuable.
Yeah.
Right. And one thing I do think it could be better though is having a bit more of an industry influence with the degree itself, right? So, you know, when I just said the transition to doing software engineering, one of the courses, there's a project management course that they run in third year. And that course is essentially run by industry professionals. One of them being Pierre from ResTech, the principal engineer from ResTech. And that was honestly one of the best courses I've ever done. And I think we all agree on that.
Yeah.
You guys recently had Mark Wallace as well from Script. He teaches the enterprise architecture course at uni as well. Having someone from industry come in and talk about what they do and how what they teach is relevant to, you know, what they teach is how what they teach is relevant to what they do.
Yeah,
it's good. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So it keeps you thinking. You know, like, oh man, like this is awesome. Like what I'm learning, what I'm building is applicable to the industry, and this is how it's done. And
mate, you've just mentioned like staying relevant, understanding what's happening on in the industry. Earlier today, you mentioned building of a portfolio. I feel like those are really two key differentiators I've seen with the best graduates coming out of university.
Mm.
Can you provide advice to, you know, graduates that are either starting early in their degrees or coming through on how they can best position themselves to be, I guess, job ready coming out of university?
Yeah. And it just simply honestly follow that, like keep building a portfolio. So at the end of the day, like you have to spend a bit of your time, right? Whether it be aside from studies or if you're in the process of trying to find a job, keep building stuff. Like at the end of the day, you need to build stuff. You need to stay on top of modern frameworks and languages or whatever it be. Learn, read. And actually for me now, I get a lot of value from, there's a lot of content creators on YouTube, for example, that, you know, it revolves around web dev or software development and software engineering. Even that itself, you know, myself and all the guys, we frequent that a lot. We watch a lot of content on YouTube, for example, and do a bit of reading as well, you know, Medium articles on, and, you know, on, you know, modern frameworks, like I said.
Yeah. It's amazing the world we live in now with the amount of free content, free relevant content and quality content now available online. YouTube's phenomenal for it. Like it's a massive differentiator. The amount of free quality content available on YouTube that you would have had to pay for in years gone past is phenomenal.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mate, that's good advice. And I would echo that we've made a bunch of graduate level placements as part of New Tech People over the last, I don't know, half a dozen years. And the biggest differentiator for graduates coming through is having something, having built something, having something to show over and above your degree.
Exactly.
You're finishing your degree, you've launched a business with three co-founders, you're building products as part of that business. I imagine it's a pretty busy day, busy, I don't know how I manage it. And we're running a growing business here and I can understand the challenges. But how do you manage your day from a productivity perspective? How do you manage those multiple balls that are in the air?
That's a very good question. Honestly, I love what I do. That's the thing. You know, yeah. At the end of the day, with the business, it's I do spend a lot of time on it, and we have to because we're a young business as well, right?
Yeah.
So, honestly, just a routine. And like I said, if you do enjoy what you do, you don't really think twice about how much time you spend on it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's important to have, you know, a good balance, and, you know, make sure your personal life's, you know, you stay on top of your personal life as well. I try and train when I can and stay fit, and so do the guys as well.
Yeah.
I make you spend some time with family as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mentioned early days of business and the word balance don't traditionally go hand in hand so well.
No.
Even with the best intentions, but I think the other key part you mentioned there was that health. I think it's something it's getting more and more airtime these days. The hustle culture,
yeah,
that was around maybe, you know, the last 3 to 5 years, I feel like it's starting to fall away a little bit. You can only hustle for so far, so long before you're going to burn out, and burnout's becoming something that people acknowledge now.
Yeah.
And having, you know, that element of fitness or family time, I feel like the fact that you guys are conscious of that at such an early business is, you're probably ahead of your curve.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've made the mistake as well, you know, spending ungodly amount of hours just working on something to do with a business or work or wherever it be, right? But then you kind of have to realize, hang on, what's the output actually, you know, what's the output actually like?
Yeah.
You know, is it a case of you just spending hours for the sake of hustling, or are you actually working smart? Could you be working smarter,
yeah,
for example, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, like if you are spending a lot of time, right? If you are, that's my biggest criticism of hustle culture is, yeah, you tend to just spend a lot of hours just, you know, for that specific goal or dream or whatever it be. But sometimes you just need to kind of take a step back and just say, hang on, maybe I could be working a bit smarter. And,
yeah,
you know, things like, you know, the 4-hour work week and all that, you know, there's, yeah, a bit of a culture around that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's helping that, but.
No, I've read that and tried to look into that, getting a VA many years gone by. I think there's some theory there that definitely works in real life. I don't think, you know, taking it word for word and working a 4-hour work week, nearly impossible. And it depends on what you want to actually achieve. But there's definitely some good pieces of that you can take and apply to everyday life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, probably a bit too early to kind of incorporate it for a 4-hour, what is it, 4-hour work week or whatever it is. But, you know, for me, it's a lot about learning, right? Yeah. So at the end of the day, there are things that you have to do for the for whatever it be, work, school, yeah, business, yeah. But I am mindful of, you know, the extra time that I do have. I do want to learn. I don't want to kind of try and, you know, get up to scratch on the things I should be knowing, you know.
Mate, learning, love it. You've mentioned YouTube. Mm-hmm. You've mentioned Medium from a blog's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Is it those two? Are those your main points of call?
And podcasts as well. There's podcasts. Some podcasts. And
yeah. Who are the people you follow, whether it be YouTube, Medium, or podcasts?
That's a good one. So with YouTube, actually, we love Fireship. So Fireship, and for, you know, just to quickly understand a new, you know, language or framework or whatnot, it's amazing. Like, yeah, they do the things of like, oh, you know, learn Rust in 100 seconds or whatever, and it's awesome, bite size, and
yeah,
you know, in the short attention span world that we live in, it's awesome, right?
Yeah.
There are some blog vlog content creators.
Yeah.
I think what's in the Forest, Forest Night is a good one.
Yeah.
That's more so in, he's more so surrounding the lifestyle of a computer scientist or a software engineer. That's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, but in terms of podcasts, so, you know, I'm more so listening to, you know, business related ones, and, you know, New Tech is one, you know, I listen to it a lot. And Diary of a CEO is a good one.
It's
good insights into people who've built successful businesses. And
yeah.
And there's a Guy Kawasaki one as well, which is also great.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice, mate. Yeah, again, I think, again, very, very good advice for others is, you know, optimizing learning and continuing that learning journey as you go. I'm going to hit back on that productivity part one more time. Is there any tools that you've found successful, actually a practical takeaway that somebody could use from a productivity perspective, whether it's, do you use a calendar to chunk your day? Do you use to-do lists? Do you use Evernote? Do you use...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you're going to have to, right? Like in the modern, a modern business, a modern professional, you have to, the chances are you would be using a tool. And yeah, I mean, we use calendars and, but, you know, even Calendly, for example, to just really just streamline the process of organizing meetings and stuff. And we're mindful of meetings as well. Like being a small team, you know, like, how much face-to-face do you really, really need when it can simply be an email or just a message, right? We still make sure there's face-to-face meetings and whatnot, but, you know, look, chat, Slack, you know, an email, it's efficient to get, you know, to report and just touch base with, you know, where progress is.
Reducing meetings for the sake of meetings.
Exactly. In terms of engineering and product development itself, Jira is amazing. You know, it's free, and we've been using it for years now, actually since all the way from uni, and from project management and issue tracking, it does wonders, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, there's also personal you know, tools that I use to be productive, like, you know, I love Notion. There's brilliant things in Notion, like dumbed down, like CRM and like dumbed down sales CRM and whatnot, which I like to use simply because I don't need a
Salesforce or something like that yet.
Exactly. Look, a small team, we don't need a robust CRM, for example, you know. So.
Nice, mate. We'll wrap it up. But, mate, the last question. If you had your time over, you're still early on in your career, early business now, but if you had your time over again, is there any advice you give, you know, the younger version of yourself to maybe help change the trajectory or maybe not make a mistake?
Yeah, no, for sure. Honestly, it would be probably starting networking a bit earlier.
Yeah.
Just because, it's so helpful, especially here in Newcastle. So probably starting that earlier would have been amazing. And honestly, stressing less and focusing a bit more on personal life as well, like just kind of just hanging out with friends or just taking a bit more time away from work to kind of really just focus on self, because that would honestly boost productivity, I think, you know, if you do that. So yeah,
definitely ahead of the curve, mate. I think if you can learn those mistakes or learn those things early in your career, rather than going through, you know, burnouts or multiple burnouts, which most people do at some point in their career, I think, you'd be saving a great deal of time and energy.
Absolutely.
Mate, thanks for coming on the podcast today. If somebody wanted to reach out, they might be looking for some career advice, they might be looking to have an MVP built. Mm-hmm. How do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, no, for sure. So you can visit our website, so yegsoft.com.au. We're on, you know, social media as well, so Facebook, Instagram, and also primarily LinkedIn. So, you know, myself and the team, we're all there. So reach out. And,
beautiful. Appreciate coming on today.
Hey, anytime.
Cheers. Thank you for listening to this episode of New Tech People. To stay up to date with all our episodes, our show notes, and past episodes, please visit www.newtechpeople.com.au. Thank you.